Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with everyone today. It is January 22nd, 2018. You know, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, this is a day of gladness to the people of God, a day of honor and praise, a day of worship and dance, victory and song. Come to the top of the mountain, beloved, today, and rejoice with the spirits of just men that have been made perfect. Come and partake of the celebration taking place in the great Mount Zion. The Lord says, I have called you forth so that you would ascend and be raised above the turmoils of the earth. For truly, you are a heavenly people. Why do the anxieties and cares of this life still have power over my people? Because they have not yet understood that I am from above. My kingdom is an everlasting kingdom that shall never be destroyed. If all the nations of the earth were to disappear, my kingdom would never disappear. Yet, beloved, this is what is prepared for this hour. The nations of the earth shall be swallowed up by the kingdom of God. They shall disappear while the everlasting kingdom grows and manifests everywhere. Men shall disappear. Nations shall disappear. But you, beloved, shall remain. I have sealed you with the seal of my spirit, and you shall be kept in the hour of darkness. You shall be spared from the great tribulation that hits the earth. Be sure that the tribulation to come will cause men and nations to vanish. Truly, there shall be new heavens and a new earth. My kingdom is undisturbed kingdom, and only they who are energetic can enter into it. For violent, energetic men take the kingdom by force. Remove yourselves from the tossing seas of fallen humanity and come into my rest. The storms of life you are experiencing are likened unto my disciples in the sea. The storm did arise and against them, and they did fear. I arose and calmed the winds and rebuked the seas. I cried out against their unbelief. I said, why are you fearful and faithless? What was the storm for? It was for the purpose of building up those whom I had chosen to perform my will in the earth after my ascension. The lessons you are now learning, beloved, are for the purpose of your authority being established. I declare unto you that the storms that are arising in your lives are but drops compared to the oceans of the earth. For mighty storms are brewing all over the earth. Yet your storms are for the purpose of strengthening you and establishing you in the earth. The many-sided attack against your lives are but mere ghosts in comparison to what is about to be seen. Yet these attacks are for your perfecting. I establish my people through the fires. I test my people and lead them into difficult places in order that I may bring out the quality of character that I have spoken into them. That which is on the inside must shine forth in this hour. Some will lie down and die like dogs as they are crushed under the pressure, while others will be forced to arise and seize the day. When Satan came to me and desired the life of Peter, I told Peter that I prayed for him that his faith would not fail. And so I say unto you this day that I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail in this hour. I say to you, arise in the spirit of David and war against the ghosts. Drive them out into the outer realms of darkness. I say unto you to awake and speak to the storms in your life. For the days ahead you shall be called upon to be a beacon of light to those who are lost in the darkness. Yes, your life shall reveal its meaning in the days ahead, very short days ahead. But you will descend from the heights of Zion as a deliverer and a healer. You shall come forth as a savior to the world, doing the works that I have called you to do. So I say to you this day that I am with you. I will never leave you nor abandon you. I am training you up. I will not allow you to be swallowed up by the waves, but I would have you at least cry out for me in this hour of difficulty. Keep not silent. Let your voice be heard. Stand upon your feet and declare the glory of your King, the glory of your God. I am, and there is no other. I will not have you to remain a child. I will not allow you to be afraid. I will purge out with the fires of hell, if need be, all that keeps you from coming into my fullness. I will allow pressure beyond measure to test you, and will allow you to be stretched beyond measure until there is nothing left but faith, hope, and love. I will not stand by idly and watch my people play the fool. I will not allow the immaturity of spirit to remain. I will not only rock your boat, but I will allow many storms to rage against you until you become what I have created you to be. You are to be as I am, says the Lord. I have created you in my image. You boast of being great prophets, and you cry out from behind the walls of your safety, but I will tear down your walls and send you before men to prophesy. You have played a religious game and have received your reward, the admiration of men. What surprises shall be at the end? I will knock down your walls and send you forth to speak my word. Now, you allow the prognosticators and the stargazers to speak through the air, but when shall you arise and speak before the governors of the world? Why will you settle for the newsman of your day to travel land and sea and sit before princes and kings while you do nothing? It is because you are fearful and filled with hypocrisy. The spirit of religion has deceived you into thinking you are all right, but the very fruits of your life declare differently. No, I will send forth the people in my image to the ends of the earth. They shall declare my kingdom with signs and wonders following. I will have a company of sons who are sent forth to deliver the creation from the bondage of corruption. I will have a company of sons who will not love their lives unto death. They will have no fear of death, will have the ability to sit in the council chambers of wicked men and admonish them, reprove them, and reveal to them my kingdom. Is not this the hour wherein I am plucking up the roots of nations? Yes, nations shall be destroyed by fire, and the seeds that have been sown in that place for many years past shall bring forth that which was intended to be. All the nations of the earth belong to me. They are my inheritance, and I am coming to collect what is rightfully mine and distribute to those who have been rewarded according to their deeds. How can a fearful people rule the nations? How can cowards rule in the seat of power and authority? How can babies and children wield the scepter of power? Where are my men? Where are my warriors? Where are the righteous ones in the earth? Where are the fearless warriors? Where are the dread warriors? Children, it is time to quit playing. The stakes are high. The cost is great. Yet what I have placed within you cannot be compared or valued to any earthly goods. Stir up that anointing within you. Destroy the works of the destroyer. Execute the judgment I have written against the wicked. Do your job, for great shall be the reward of those who do what I have called them to do. Too many are still seeking their lives, and in so doing have abandoned the life I have called them to. These murmur and complain all the time about why things are not working out the way that they would like them to. Some have gone as far as crying out for death because they are unable to let go of the life they have chosen. Yet there is a call upon these that must be answered and fulfilled, and either the call will be answered or their years shall be consumed with grief and sorrow, and the greatest advancements they make shall leave an empty, unsatisfied taste in their mouths. There will be no pleasures in the life of those who forsake me for the comforts of this life. And in the days ahead, when they would have been profitable for me, they will not have the value needed and will weep and cry as they watch others doing what they were called to do. This will be a grievous time for those who refuse to pay the price now. Some have grown proud in their calling but have not advanced in it. These sit by the way and speak of all the high-sounding adventures they will one day be, but their lives are being taken into faraway places. Their voices are become like echoes in the fields. Beware, lest you vanish in the wind. Strong words, you say. No, these are only words of caution, beloved. Strong words are, I never knew you. Depart from me. Let not these words ever be spoken unto you. Cause me to know you. Make sure that I know you. Wrestle harder. Become more violent. Surely I can handle it. Push, fight, get the warrior out into the open. Be the conqueror I have called you to be. Destroy your idols, smash your images of self-exaltation and comfort zone ideas. Destroy the delicacies of men. Turn away from the bribe. Arise, arise, arise. These are the exhortive words of the Spirit of God, I believe, to many of God's sons who are ready to go on assignment. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. You're listening to The Watchman. I'm Vincent Xavier, and I believe God is on track, and I believe that He's saying to those of you that are specifically tuned into this broadcast that I'm going to accelerate my work in the earth. I've got a job to do. I'm about saving souls. I'm about going, getting out there and doing things, and I'm going to employ the vessels that have been prepared through the fiery trials to go and stand before kings and stand within nations and to proclaim the glory of my kingdom. And like the two prophets in the book of Revelation, they will shut the heavens. They will release the plagues. They will be the ones that discomfit this world. They will be so hated by the world because the world will know that these prophets of God have shaken it up, have destroyed the apple cart, upset everything in their direction, and now is the time for the voice of the prophetic community to rise, and now it is time to shake the earth and not let it rest until the glory of God be manifested in this earth, until kings are toppled, until nations are brought down, until the hypocrisy of nations is revealed, uncovered, and all things begin to move in the direction that God wants them to ultimately be led into. Yes, I know ultimately God is going to have His way. I know that God is in control. I know that God is not far off on a vacation. I know that there's not a bird on the earth that doesn't fall to the ground and die that He's not aware of. I know that He's numbered every hair on my head and your head and all the people of this world. God is amazing. He's alive. He's intimate. He's aware. And He's in the midst of everything. And He wants you to rise. He wants you to speak. He wants you to get out there and move in the boldness and confidence and even go out and contend with the dragons of this day. So I want to exhort you in that today. And I also feel that today that you need to just know that you're going to conquer your flesh. If you got to go on a 3-day fast, if you need to go on a 7-day fast, a 21-day fast, a 40-day fast, then do it. Now's the time. Stop delaying. The enemy is a procrastinator. He comes to delay, deceive, and distract. Do not allow your life to be delayed in the purposes that God has intended. Do not be distracted by the things of this world, and do not be deceived by the enemy of your soul. Listen, it is really a specific moment. This week, It's Monday right now. I believe by Friday, we're going to see something hit the news media. I believe by Friday, something is going to appear on the screens of the American people. And I believe that there is going to be another event. And I believe the series of events are about to strike at another level. And I believe we're in for another cycle of events. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that the winds of war are blowing everywhere right now. I believe the winds of war are coming. I believe that God has given time for repentance. I believe that all of the propaganda and psychological warfare that has been perpetrated upon the minds of the masses in our generation is going to be exposed for what it is, an empty delusion. And for a time, the delusion has spun its spell upon the masses, and they have not understood what's going on. And men have thought that they are in control of what is going on. But God is about to step in to this earth, and he's about to do something that the prognosticators did not see coming, that the stargazers did not see coming, that many people in the church did not see coming. There is an event that is ready to happen that God is going to perform. And when it comes, you make sure you remember these words. Because it is going to be your inspiration to know that God is fulfilling his work in the earth. He is not coming as a baby Jesus. He is not coming as a little lamb. And he's certainly not following Mary wherever she goes. I'm telling you that the roaring lion of the tribe of Judah is about to utter his voice in this earth. And I believe the reverberation of even a whisper of his will shake the mountains, the highest mountains and islands of the earth. I believe that the heavens are about to undergo a massive shaking, whether they are from nuclear bombs or whatever they are. There is even just the voice of God would shake everything in the Oort Belt. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not at peace with the nations of the earth. God is not at rest with the nations of the earth. God is moving, he is stirring, and he is warning, and he's telling us to get ready. But listen, God wants to manifest himself through you. God wants your voice heard. You cannot lie in bed and just kind of go lackadaisically through the day. You've got to get up with a shout. You've got to get up with a roar. You've got to get up. And now we're going to do something most important. We're going to go back to the Word of God. This is what I would call a refresher course. This is the refresher course. This is not repetitive. This is a refresher course to water the seed of knowledge that God has put inside of you and I. So let's get right back to it again. I want to get through these things quickly. Is Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus went out and departed from the temple in verse 1. His disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." So obviously, this conversation begins with the temple in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. The men were very impressed with the temple stones. They were very impressed with the beautiful buildings. The disciples were so impressed. Look at these amazing buildings. And Jesus floored them when he said to them, "Every one of these stones will be thrown down. There will not be left one standing upon another." And then in verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" First question, when is this temple going to be destroyed? Second question is, and what shall be the sign of your coming? And the third question, and what will be the sign of the end of the world? Well, these are three questions that began what the event 2,000 years ago, and as you're going to see, span time to the very end of his second coming. These words cannot be fulfilled until he returns. They wanted to know what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world. So not until Jesus Christ returns the way that he promised he would, even in these passages that we're going to read, can we say that Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, or any other prophecy has been fulfilled concerning these things? So Jesus now begins to answer their question. And in verse 4, he says this, "Take heed that no man deceive you." So remember, beloved, wherever you are, wherever you live, watch out for deception. There are people that will purposely try to deceive you because deception is all over the world. There are people that unintentionally deceive other people by their lack of knowledge. Okay? So just be aware of this. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You see, it's not few, it's many. And you shall hear. So the first thing you watch out for is deception in the last days. He's answering their question. Then he said, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Are we hearing of wars today? Are we hearing of rumors of wars today? Yes. See that you be not troubled. See, what God is writing in that exhortation that I read to you earlier is a passage to get you bold and courageous, not troubled, not anxious, not fretful, not fearful. Be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. That's what Jesus is telling them. Kingdom will rise against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And so he's telling them about the signs. He's telling them about the deception. He's warning them. So if we go back 2,000 years ago, we have to ask the question, were there wars? Were there rumors of wars? Was there great deception? Were people coming in the name of Jesus Christ? Was there famine and pestilence and earthquake all over the world? Well, if there was, it was only the beginning of sorrows. But guess what? We're down the road right now. We're seeing more earthquakes than there's ever been recorded in the history of the world, more hurricanes that's ever been recorded in the history of the world. We have mountains that are ready to pop. We have the earth shaking. I mean, we've got pestilence and flu and virus and plague. We've got disease and sickness running rampant. I mean, our generation around the world is experiencing these very signs at this very moment in a cycle of war that we are in right now. So, yes, maybe to that generation, when the temple was about to collapse, they were experiencing some of these things. But be warned and be wise that these are the very things that we're supposed to know that are the beginning of the sorrows. But what happens then in verse 9? Jesus says, then shall they deliver you. That word then is like, here's the beginning of sorrows. Okay, so look for all these signs. Beware of all these things. Here's knowledge for you. Then there's a shift, and that's what then does. Here's an event. Then, or after this, now this is going to happen. And what does he say? Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Now, he talked in the first 8 verses about the general condition of the world. He said there's famines, there's pestilence, there's earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars in different places all over the world. There's no specific direction, just things that will be happening everywhere, deception everywhere. But then in verse 9, when he says then, he now is pointing his finger or directing his message directly at the disciples. And now he's looking directly at the people of God. These disciples represent you and I in these last days. And he said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I ask you a question. In Egypt, are our Christian brothers and sisters being hated and killed? In Iraq, in Iran, in China, and around the world, are not men and women of God being hated and killed everywhere? The answer is yes. It's affirmative. In our generation at this time, it shows the timelessness of the very word of God. So you're a Christian today. I'm a Christian today. You're a disciple. I'm a disciple. Here's what Jesus said. Have you seen the famines? Have you seen the pestilences? Have you seen the earthquakes? Have you seen the troubles? Have you seen the deception? Have you heard of the wars, the rumors of wars? And we all say affirmatively, yes, we have been, we've seen it. He said, then get ready, because now the affliction's coming. Now they're going to kill you. Now you're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Not a few nations, but all nations are going to hate Christians around the world. The animosity and enmity of the Antichrist, the devil, the beast, the dragon, the false prophet, the evil, is going to be so intensified, you're probably feeling the breath of that demonic force around you. That's why it is imperative that you stay under the wing. You get under the hedge. You stay in the secret place of the Most High. You do not proudly get outside of the hedge of God, because it is vicious out there. You may not be experiencing it because right now you are under a hedge. I'm exhorting you to stay there. And then he says this. Not only will you be afflicted. Not only will people kill you. Not only will you be hated. But verse 10 says, and then shall many be offended. How many? Many will be what? Offended. What does the word offended mean? It means to be brought into the trap. It means they're going to get caught in the trap of offense. And because, listen to this, many will be offended and shall betray one another. Are you ready for the people that you once walked into the very same church building with to betray you? It's going to happen. David cried out in the Psalms, if it were my enemy, I could deal with it, but it was my familiar friend that went to the house of the Lord with me that turned on me. Ladies and gentlemen, a time of betrayal will come. Get ready for it. Get your eyes off every man. Get your eyes off every woman. Do not be needy towards anybody or anything. Just keep your eyes on Jesus and you be the lover. You care about people. You serve people. You help people. Don't worry about what people do for you or to you. You just be the lover of the body of Christ, even people that are troubled and going through different things. Because listen, betrayal's going to come because of offense. Because of offense. So do not allow your heart to be offended today. Don't worry about tomorrow. And if today you're carrying offense, if today you're already in a trap because you are offended by anyone or anything, I would concur today with you, get out of that trap. Get out of the trap of offense. Get out of it right now. Speak to that trap. Rebuke it. Break it. Bind it. Cast it out. Get out of the trap. You cannot serve God in a trap of offense. It'll make you ugly. It'll depress you. It'll wear you down. It'll slow you down. It'll prevent you from moving forward. Whoever you're offended at right now, you pray double for them. You love them. You bless them. You pray for people right now. Anybody that has hurt you, wounded you, mistreated you, you just love and bless them and hug them when you see them and smile and mean it from your heart. This is for your well-being, not theirs. So they shall betray one another and shall hate one another. See, the offense is going to be so bad in the last days, like in Nazi Germany, when some of the Jews began to turn in one another. They betrayed one another. They hated one another. They became like the Nazis themselves. And many Christians are going to fall away to the powers of darkness, and the spirit of enmity is going to get into them, and it's going to go towards the righteous elect of God. You see, this whole thing is against the church, the true ecclesia, the true people of God. This whole enmity, this whole world is going to arise against the church, against light, against truth, against righteousness, against love, against joy, against all the things of God. Everything representing the mind and heart of God is going to come under scrutiny and attack, affliction and hostility and hatred and death. If you're not ready for that, you're not ready for what's coming. If you're thinking that you're not going to be here when this time comes, you are sadly mistaken, because as I'm going to show you, and I'm going to show you right now, not one time so far, as Jesus is answering the questions, has he once mentioned anybody hiding, fleeing away? I mean, disappearing in a pre-trib rapture, you know what I'm saying. But let's move on. He says this in verse 11. He said, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Let me tell you what I believe a false prophet is that's going to deceive many. Consistently throughout Scripture, the true false prophets were always the ones that said peace and safety to a generation or a nation that was offending God in their character and attitude. It was always the prophets that were saying, everything's going to be okay, even with a stubborn, stiff-necked, and hard-hearted people, people that have rebelled against God. The false prophets that deceive many are people saying things like, hey, you're going to disappear. There's never going to be a day of trouble. Once saved, always saved. Live your best life now. Everything's okay. Don't worry about all these other things. It really is that way, but it's probably even more intensified coming from the Nation of Islam with their clerics that are speaking to their Esau, their Jesus. But let's move on. Verse 12, because iniquity shall abound. Do you think iniquity is abounding in our generation? I've never, ever could dream. Could you ever dream that our conversation today is about grown men having sex with little boys and little girls, pedophiles, Pizzagate? Could you imagine that that conversation is going on within our nation and around the world sex trafficking. I know it's been there all along. Don't get me wrong. But in a Christian nation like ours, who is drowning in perdition today, who has left the moors of our true heritage, can you imagine that today we're seeing the skirts of men and women being lifted up and their shame being exposed for the vile, filthy, disgusting things that they're doing? You talk about iniquity abounding. We have men that have turned their bodies into women and women that have turned their bodies into men. We have 80 million babies that have been murdered in the womb of our women. We have marriage licenses given to homosexual men and homosexual women. We've got all this perverse iniquity, and the Bible says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It is going to get so dark, so perverse, so pornographic, so wicked, so evil, that the love of many people is going to grow cold. There's not going to be any genuine affection anymore. There's not going to be any love and grace and kindness and genuineness anymore. You have to guard your heart, and I have to guard my heart in these days. We have to exhort one another in these days. We've got to keep ourselves in the love of God. We've got to pray in the Holy Spirit, building ourselves up in our most holy faith. We have got to understand that the things that Jesus said were going to come that would be assigned to the time of tribulation have come. They've been here. And we must recognize, as in America particularly, what is already happening to our brothers and sisters. They're getting their heads chopped off, for goodness sake. The women are being raped. They're being sold into slavery. There is a tremendous amount of truth that is already taking place. Only in America, only in America. Do we say that it'll never happen to us? We'll never see the beheadings. We'll never see all these things. We're not going to see it. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you today, it's coming. It's at the door. It's operating in the house. The winds of this is already manifesting. The love of many will wax cold. Now, once your love waxes cold, you're a dead man. Once your love waxes cold, you're a dead woman. If your love is waxed cold, your light is going to go out. You're going to be offended. You're going to be taken in the snare. Hatred is going to fill your heart. You're going to betray people you once loved. And do you think you're really saved under those conditions? Are you telling me that you're saved if your light goes out, if your love grows cold? And by the way, if you once had love and it grows cold, it means you were once saved, but then you're not saved anymore. If you once had love and then you don't have love, that means you could lose your love. Ladies and gentlemen, it's so obvious and so clear, but the blinding deception of the false prophets and teachers in our generation have seduced a generation and made people believe a lie. I'm here to tell you to wake up. It's not the truth. Verse 13 is the key. But he that shall endure unto the end. Endure with what? Endure in your love. Do not let your love be destroyed. When Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was being mocked, when he was being spit on, when they were punching him in the face, when they tied him up and brought him to the whipping post, and they started railing against him, and they started whipping him and taking razor blade and ripping his flesh off of his body, and his bones were exposed and blood was dripping, and they put a crown of thorns in his head, and they punched him and they smote him, and then they made him carry a cross up a mountain, and they beat him and they whipped him and they brought him and they nailed him. Every single thing that was happening to him could have been an opportunity for him to lose his love. But up to the very moment they lifted him up, he cried out, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." He did not lose his love. You and I will never have to go what he went through, so we could keep our eyes on him when we go through times that are not happy, and we could just say, "Lord, keep my love. I don't want my love. I've got to endure in love, the love of God, the love, the unconditional love of God, not my human love, but God's agape love. I need to keep this." And it says, Jesus said, "But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. What is this gospel of the kingdom? The world needs to know that there's a kingdom higher than the highest nation on the face of the earth. The world needs to know that there's a king that has a kingdom that's going to bring his kingdom and his rule and authority on this earth. And every nation that does not submit and bow down will be crushed with a rod of iron. And the rulers and the governors of the kingdom of God are the overcomers who endure to the end, who are going to be given 5 cities and 10 cities. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the government of God is going to come into the earth, and God has already endued you with power to rule and reign in the midst of your enemies wherever you are. God has given you a place to walk on this earth, to exercise his authority, to bring his righteousness, to allow his truth to be heard. You're where you are for a reason. Ladies and gentlemen, we continue on in verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Well, let me ask you a question. Where is the holy place? Well, the holy place, according to Scripture, is in the temple of God. So how is the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet going to stand in the holy place if there's no temple? There's going to be a temple built in Jerusalem. Mike Pence is rejoicing that he said in 2019 the embassy will be operating in Jerusalem. I'm telling you, we're on the verge of seeing the temple of God built. We are so close in the times that we are living in. And before that temple is built, all these winds, all these beginning of sorrows, all these things are going to be happening. But then, while the temple is built to a people group called the Jews who have rejected the knowledge of Messiah, they're going to engage in all of these practices that are no longer any bit useful at all to God. None of the things they're going to do in that restored temple are going to be useful to God because everything is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But through their own deception and denial of Christ, they're going to build this temple. And then at some point, the man of sin is going to come. The abomination of desolation is going to stand in the holy place. I happen to believe that that is the Antichrist. I believe that's the 12th Imam. I believe that is the Mahdi that comes out of the religion of Islam. And I believe that he's going to stand in that holy place. In some ways, you go to Jerusalem right now and the Al-Aqsa Mosque is already standing in the holy place, for goodness sake. The Mosque of Islam is already there where the temple once stood. Some people say the man of sin has been there for a while, just waiting for the appearing of the actual man to enter into that, which is their leader of the Islamic world. And so we go on. He said, whoever reads, let him understand. Verse 16, he says, when you see this happen, whether you're in Jerusalem or wherever you are in the world, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now comes the part of people recognizing what's happening, and now they're fleeing into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. What is he saying? Did you notice that not one hint of people, when the man of sin comes, are going to disappear? Have you noticed when he says, when you see the man of sin coming and standing in the temple of God, you better flee to the mountains. Now, the mosque is there, but you got to have the leader of the mosque. You got to have the leader of the whole entire Shia, Muslim, Shiite, and the otherite, whatever they are, the fractions. They all have to come, the Sunni, the Shiite. You have to bring it all together. There's going to be one leader of the Islamic world. One leader's coming. His house is already there where the temple was built. Now, listen. Listen, listen, listen. Flee to the mountains. Don't go back into the house. Don't go get your clothes. Don't go get your stuff. You better have a prepared place. What is he saying here? He's not saying, look up because you're going to fly away in a pre-trib rapture. He's saying, pray that your flight into the mountains isn't going to be in the winter because that's going to be a cold day. Pray it doesn't happen on the Sabbath day because you're not going to be really ready because you're resting on the Sabbath day, right? And then here's the clincher. Verse 21, for then, at this time he's talking about, shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Ladies and gentlemen, what Jesus is saying is that the greatest tribulation that the world has ever known is reserved unto these last days. And this tribulation that is coming will be global in its scope. It will not be limited to the Middle East. It will incorporate into it every human being on the planet, every nation, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the wild beasts, the sun, moon, and stars, angels, demons, everything in existence will be caught into it because that's the book of Revelation. And he said, that there will be great tribulation since never was, since the beginning of the world to this time, no ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, what does it mean to have the days of the great tribulation shortened? Well, that's when we go to Revelation chapter 13, and it tells us in Scripture that the man of sin, the beast, the false prophet, all these things in Revelation 13 will be in existence and power, even overcoming the saints, for 3.5 years. It literally tells us 1,260 days. 1,260 days, 42 months. It literally gives us the number of days. That's what Jesus was referring to when he said that he'll shorten the days. Because if this thing went on for 20 years, nobody would survive. But Satan is going to have 3.5 years to do his worst. All the winds, all the signs are pointing to the coming of this Antichrist. The nations are coming under the mantra and the spell of the evil one. The worshipers and the high priesthood of Satan are rising up with mantras and bloody sacrifices on the altars of idolatry are manifesting all over the world. Demons are coming forth out of the pit. Smoke is coming forth out of the furnace. Things are happening around the world. The delusion is deep. People are under the spell. There's deception everywhere. People are half-hearted. Christians are falling away from the faith. People aren't making it. They're not finding repentance. They're not able to enter in. It is a tough time, a difficult time, not an easy time. And in these days of ease in America, these should be the times when we're training the hardest. We should be rubbing each other the wrong way as much as we need to make sure that we can't get offended. There should be a tremendous amount of activity going on to test our hearts as to where we stand. You always, and I always, must continue having forgiveness in our hearts towards everyone and anyone. And I'm not just talking about this facade of forgiveness. I'm talking about real forgiveness, the same kind of forgiveness that Jesus gave to you and Jesus gave to me. Real forgiveness that loves and extends and brings into intimacy, fellowship. So here we're reading all these verses now. And I want to remind our listeners, has there one time any verse even remotely considered or suggested a pre-tribulational rapture in the time Jesus talked about in the end of time, the great tribulation, the greatest tribulation that the world has ever gotten? And I got to ask you this, to the hyper-preterists who believe in 70 AD this was all fulfilled, well then, how could you talk about a rapture? What's the point of a rapture if it's already been fulfilled and this is the millennial kingdom? That's hogwash. That is such hogwash. Now, in verse 23, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Listen, at this time of darkness, of tribulation, Jesus is saying, don't be deceived. People are going to say, hey, there's Christ, or he's over here. He's saying, don't believe it. He says, because at this time, there's going to be an eclipse. There's going to be a darkness on this earth where the powers of darkness will have the right and will even overcome the saints for 42 months. 1,260 days, 3.5 years. And he said this, don't believe it, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Who are the very elect living on the earth in these last days? Is it you? Well, listen, the darkness, the deception is going to be so great. And it will seek to deceive you. So what do? You listen to every word in this book. God, Jesus Christ, just laid out the exact pattern. Never once did he say a pre-trib rapture. He also said, not once saved, always saved, but one who had love could lose love. You see what I'm saying? One could offend and hate and betray. So he's addressing a lot of issues in this. And then in 25, Jesus said, behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. All right, so now he's answering their second question. What will be the sign of your coming? All right, so now he's going to tell them about the sign of his coming. What is it going to be? Well, in the sign of his coming, it's going to be like lightning flashing out of the east and shining unto the west. And then in verse 29, you ready for this? I want to get 28 says, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And I'm just not going to attempt to describe that. I don't understand it. I used to think I knew something about it, but I'm going to just hesitate. It's not going to change what we're talking about. But let's move on to verse 29. And we will get the answer to that, by the way. Verse 29, Jesus said, immediately, listen now, immediately after, if you have your Bible, circle the word after. Immediately after the tribulation of those days that he just talked about, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is a very interesting passage, and we'll talk about it in just a moment. Obviously, immediately after the tribulation, this event's going to come. It's very likened unto Revelation 6:12-17, which we'll talk about in a second. But these are events. I mean, everything is shaken. The powers of heaven will be shaken. And then, watch. And then, this is all after the tribulation, shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. All right, so now we're talking about, what does it say? All the tribes of the earth, not a secret rapture, not a few people, but in the second coming of Jesus Christ that he's talked about, he said, all the tribes of the earth. The hyperpreterist will try to tell you that Jesus returned in 70 AD in the conflagration. Well, all the tribes of the earth did not see him that time. No, no, no. When he comes, all the tribes of the earth will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Okay. Second coming of Christ, right after the great tribulation, Jesus made it clear. It's not in italics. It says what it means. It means what it says after the tribulation. Now, what your pre-tribulational rapture people will tell you is, no, the pre-tribulational rapture doctrine is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And so let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I said Fleshalonians. So we're in Thessalonians chapter 4 first, and then maybe I should save it for tomorrow because I got news for you. 1 Thessalonians 4 has nothing to do with the pre-trib rapture if you read it in context of what we just read in Matthew 24. And here's what it says. I'll give it a quick read. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, Paul said to the church, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. In other words, I don't want you to be ignorant about the people that died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. In other words, there are people that lost their loved ones. They'll never see them again. But Paul says to the church, don't you think you're never going to see them again who believed in me? Why? Because, for if we believe, he said, that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which died in Jesus will God bring with him. So he's saying, if you lost a loved one who believed in me, don't be hopeless, be full of joy, because they're coming back in the resurrection. Now look what it says. Even so Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So God's going to bring the resurrected saints with him. And that happens, by the way, back to Matthew 24. Well, we'll get there in just a second. There's a resurrection that's going to happen. Watch this. 15. Listen, these are the most cautious words. You've got to get these. Circle these. Read these 1,000 times in verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. In other words, the Lord gave these words. What is Paul referring to? He's referring to Matthew 24, which we just read. Watch, you'll see the connection. He said, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Now, Matthew 24, we saw his coming. All the tribes of the earth are going to see him coming in the clouds with power and great glory, right? So there are going to be saints alive and remaining. They're going to be alive when he comes. When he comes after the tribulation, he said, we who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So Paul's going back to those who died. He says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. We saw that in Matthew 24. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, people have taught that and brought a pre-trib doctrine out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. Now, there's one other thing that we need to understand. So, at the second coming of Jesus Christ, there will be the resurrection of the dead. When he comes and blows the trumpet, the dead in Christ, you just read in Thessalonians, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remaining that belong to the Lord, who have endured to the end of that great tribulation period, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. All right, what I'd like to do is open the telephone lines. If you have any questions or comments about what you're hearing today, we've got 10 minutes to talk. Here I am right now. The number to call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad, and let's have some meaningful conversation. Again, this is a refresher course. This is a time to just let people know that these are the things that as Christian men and women we should be expecting. So the number to call again, 818-369-0326. Maybe you have a different point of view. I'd love to hear it. And maybe you just want to continue on in the conversation, develop this thought, and to encourage. Maybe you want to encourage the body of Christ today. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. I'm waiting for your call right now. And we've got our first call coming in from area code 941. This sounds like a good one. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
God bless you. I just want to talk about the tribulation.
Okay, it looks like we lost that caller. Okay. So anyways, let's. The lines are open. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. And we want to know from you what your thoughts are about what you're hearing here today. 818-369-0326. Are you ready for the tribulation? Are you ready for the persecution? Are you ready for the affliction? Are you ready, ladies and gentlemen? Are you ready for what's coming? And how important is it to be ready in your spirit? Everything that Jesus talked about was about readiness. Now, I haven't looked at the news today, but I'm under the impression that we probably don't have a government in operation right now. There's a shutdown. Who cares? Do you care? I don't care. This would be a great time for our nation to get attacked, I think. How about you? I think we're going to see something this week on the news. I think we're going to see end time events continue to transpire all over the world. I believe that we're going to continue to see the signs that Jesus talked about manifest everywhere around the world. Understand these signs. What do they mean? What are these signs saying to you and I? Let's take our call here coming in from Pastor Ken Wagner, I believe it is. Good morning, Pastor Ken. How are you today, sir?
Oh, I'm blessed, sir. I'm blessed. Listening to you and what you've got to say is just an eye-opener again, and it's something that we all need to hear. You know, as you were speaking about that, my mind went back to Acts chapter 2 and the day of Pentecost. And what happened out there in that room, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And it says on further, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? What you're doing today and the things that you're saying is saying the same exact thing to all the people on here, people who are Christians, people who are non-Christians, godly, ungodly, fornicators, prophets, every single person on here. They need to be awakened once again and understand what is happening, what is going on. And that's what you are doing. And in verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard all of this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter gave a pretty straightforward answer. He said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Boy, if that was ever needed today, it is needed tremendously today. And that's really what we need to go ahead and do, is come back and listen to the Spirit of God and what His Word says and what He's telling us to go ahead and do the very things that you're talking about, believing and understanding and preparing for what is coming.
Wow, what a great exhortation, Pastor Ken. You know, the Word of God is like a bolt of light. It just shines in the darkness, and it undoes, you know, all of the lethargy. And I think a lot of men and women of God are just pretty lethargic right now. It's like the 10 virgins, and everybody's sleeping. All the virgins are sleeping, and yet the sound is going to come in the midnight season. Awake, and those that are wise are going to have their oil, and they're going to be able to move through the midnight season of the trouble, the affliction, the persecution, the trouble that's there, and they'll be able to endure to the end because the oil that they have. But I do believe that the trumpet sound that is awakening the bride of Christ, the awakening of the people of God, is what is being heard in the land today. So again, I want to encourage anybody else out there. We've got a few minutes left on the broadcast. If you have any questions or comments, welcome to call in. And until you do, Pastor Ken, go ahead. What else is in your heart today?
I'm just really, the only thing that I can really say from listening to you on it, you're literally a voice crying out in the wilderness. There's so many people that really need to hear what you're saying. And I hope the people that do listen and do hear will spread the word and say that and repeat some of the things that you are saying, just to get people awakened as to what is going on. You know, people will disagree with you, but that opens up the dialogue for discussion. People, even if they don't believe, are going to hear the words, they're going to hear the truth, they're going to know it, and they will begin to change because that seed has been planted. And God's going to move on those people who He has called, and they will perform and do the things that they need to go ahead and do.
Well, amen. All right, so we've got this gentleman calling in from area code 941, and I know he's a bit antagonistic, but I'm going to give him the opportunity to expose himself. So, sir, good afternoon, good morning from 941. Go ahead and share your thoughts.
Yes, I don't know what you're doing. I keep getting cut off.
Okay, go ahead and talk about it.
Oh no! I was on to talk about the rapture. You mentioned the tribulation.
Okay, we're listening.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask you about the pre-trib and the post-trib and the mid-trib, because I was raised that we should believe in the pre-trib. And the more that I hear radio talk shows like you and other ones that talk about the end times, I think maybe I've been taught wrong.
Well, we're all learning, and we're just reading the book and keeping our own ideas out of the Word. And when we read the Word and take it. It's face value what the Lord is saying. It's pretty clear that the saints of God living in the last days, whenever that is, and I think every generation's had the opportunity to consider the possibility of being that generation. I think that keeps the church alive and well. But it does appear that globally speaking, that this end time scenario is taking place around us. And what Jesus is telling the saints living in the last days when these things are happening is that we should prepare our hearts in love. We should repent of all sin. We should get around good fellowship and allow the power of God to, you know, break off of us whatever needs to be broken off, because ultimately this is all pointing to His second coming. So it's not about escaping. It's about allowing the purging fires, Christ, the holy fires of Christ, to work out a salvation in us as we're being prepared for eternity. And so if you've been taught about it pre-trib, that's okay. But let's keep studying and let's keep looking at the word. And the more we do so, it appears that we're going to be here when the Lord comes, if in fact we're that generation. Is that okay?
Do you think that there's a reason why people teach the trib, post-trib? Is it for comfort, or is it actually for proper teaching? It's like I see a lot of strategy being played.
Well, I appreciate your call, and we're going to have to say just for the moment, I'm going to leave it with this. I think again, it goes back to the false prophets. It goes back to the deceit in the last days. It's basically to undermine people. But I want to appreciate everybody calling in. I've got to go because, did I say I got to go? I've got to go because my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, is coming up right now here on the Omega Radio Network. We're going to go to a quick little break. Enjoy this little father's song. I love this song. I hope you do too.
Well, good morning. Controversies of the Christian faith will continue as time goes on until we get it right. And that means the wisdom of God revealed to his saints. And because he has given us his word to do that very thing, to understand it and to know it, only could be done by the work of the Holy Spirit within us. So we thank God for controversies. We are moving in a position in which we must think as one man. You know, 1 Corinthians 10, and I say it time and time again, that we must, Paul was saying, hopefully have the same judgment. And this is important for the time we're in because we have been given the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ could only think one way. Our Lord is not a schizophrenia. He is truly the mind of power, love, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. And so we will come into oneness of thought. As time goes on, events may have to show us and have to prove to us what the truth of the word is. But he has a revelation to give us now. If we can grab hold of it and run with it and be open in our hearts to listen through the Holy Spirit because of the different doctrine throughout this world. And perhaps it was done for a purpose and God allowed it. Definitely Satan would love that division to continue, but we do have his mind. Therefore, we will know and understand the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ and his word and his teachings unto us. And I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier. And many may wonder if that is the right doctrine, but all can be proven if we would open our hearts and minds through the Holy Spirit in no other way, not in pride, no other way. And today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And we are in chapter 3, and we're moving quickly, faster than I thought I would. And because the book is rather small, We'll be over with it soon, but there'll be many other things to discuss when we're through with it. And hopefully you have purchased Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, and you're ready to go along the scriptures with me. In chapter 3, page 42, it says, most Christians have not been taught how to engage in spiritual warfare. And this book has been written to show you, the believer, the answers to who, what, and how to fight the good fight, to train you how to combat in spiritual warfare and to pull down the strongholds that Satan has so cleverly built up in the lives of Christians. This is spiritual warfare. And what we saw in the program of Pastor Vincent Xavier was some spiritual warfare at the end. But this is okay. We can do this. We can do this because we have been taught to love the brethren. And we have, as I said earlier, the mind of Christ, and the truth will be revealed if we truly love him. And these strongholds are built up through false imaginations. And doctrines, body of Christ, can be built on false imaginations. Think of it. All those areas of life that seem so overwhelming are merely false imaginations, lies from demonic spirits. That's why there has been so many different doctrines, just trying to understand and cope with these demonic spirits that come in as an angel of light. And you know, the angel of light is very persuasive, very grand in the mind of many. And so they are embraced as your own thoughts, and many doctrines are built upon those thoughts, when all along they are deceptive lies in strongholds to tear down and to destroy. And they are built up in the mind through Satan's craftiness. How else could it have been that there are so many doctrinal differences in the church today if the devil didn't have his way? We would all automatically be thinking and believing in the same thing through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. But it's not so. Something is wrong. Something's awry. What is it? I maintain it's spiritual warfare and demonic craftiness of lies. And so we go on to build up in the mind through Satan's craftiness these different perspectives and also doctrines. Please note that I said built up. Satan will always seek that unprotected area that is not covered by the truth of God. He is going to look into every circumstance. Remember, he's been around for a long time. He's very crafty and very wise and very intellectual, but in darkness. So which is the armor that we need to have? We need to have the armor of God, because Satan will build upon one lie after another, and doubt will come into the church. And that's exactly what he's been able to do, to divide the church in doctrinal differences. Are we going to allow it? No, we're not. We're going to seek the truth. We're going to pray. We're going to do everything necessary to find that glorious truth, because only in truth can we live and have our being, or else we are deceived. Nothing in between. There's either truth or lies. 2 Corinthians 10:4 tells us, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty in God. Hear that? Mighty in God. For the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. And these strongholds are built up in different doctrinal teachings within the church and within our lives. And so it keeps us divided, doesn't it? What a clever work of Satan. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Would you agree with me on that? So the destructive strongholds, what God has said is that you are not going to use a physical weapon, but you are going to use the authority already given to you in the name of Jesus, which is the power you have been given to tear down demonic strongholds. That's why we must seek the Lord with all our heart. Pray and seek different teachings written, because the Bible is the only true word, and we could only really understand it by the Holy Spirit. So if we study and make ourselves approved, a workman unashamed, we will divide that word properly, but we must have the gift of the Holy Spirit to do so. The Holy Spirit must have come into us when we asked Jesus Christ into our lives, and we said yes, and he will. He said, send his Holy Spirit unto us if we do. And so if we have, we must be sure that we have received the grace that has been granted to us, and forgiveness of sin in our lives, and forgiveness of sin in others who we have not forgiven. Very important for us to know the truth. If you call yourself a Christian and are still offended by another and have not forgiven them, you're not going to be able to know the truth. For the truth will set you free. But if you have not forgiven another their offenses toward you, you're not going to know and discern the truth. You can't, because you haven't then been forgiven. Is that clear? How easy is that to understand? And yet others overlook it time and time again and think that they have the truth, and all they are in is in pride with a lot of intellectual understanding about the Word of God, lacking the Holy Spirit to show them the truth. So I would say to myself and all who are listening, if you really want to know the truth of what God's Word says, undivided, but truly by the mind of Christ, I would suggest you search your heart and see if you are not holding someone by a spirit of offense within you and have not forgiven them. Then will you see God's move. Oh my goodness, he will show you great and mighty things. The word will become so rich, so deep. How many of us have read the word through the years and saw just a portion of it? And then later, as time goes on, we begin to be aware of the deeper understanding of that word. That's we have grown in the Spirit. That's because we have learned to walk in the Spirit. And we begin to see the depths of that word. And body of Christ, it's unending. The truth of God is unending. It is so deep, so rich, that as you grow in Christ, the word becomes more and more revealed unto you, even different than what you thought in the beginning. It has so many levels of truth. It would blow the imagination of anyone if they do decide to make that decision. So for the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty in God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. And that's what we want within the body of Christ. All strongholds pulled down, all lies pulled down, all deception pulled down. Then can we be the mighty overcoming church that God has called us to be? And even if there is a pre-rapture, it will then make us ready without spot and wrinkle, according to the word of God, ready without spot or wrinkle to be with him. There will be no sin left. We have been cleansed. We have been making ourselves ready as the bride, cleansed of all spots, all wrinkles, pure and holy, ready to go with him. Either way, be it pre or post, it doesn't matter. Mid, we'll be ready. And that is the most important thing of all. Too many are not and think they are. And yet they believe in the pre-trib. And when you look at their lives, you can see that it's not so. Now there are those who are preparing and getting themselves ready. And God will see them all the way through to the absolute truth and the perfection of the tribulation, of which way it goes. By that I mean the rapture, whether it's pre, mid, or post. Now, this is what you will tear down. Listen, you're going to tear down controversies. And isn't this what we just heard and saw? Controversies. They're all around and about us. You can hear so many different doctrinal slants if you watch any Christian television or go to different churches. And it's confusion, isn't it? And who is the author of confusion? Well, we know who it is. It's Satan himself, who comes as an angel of light, making one doctrinal school believe that their way is right, each one. But God knows that this, through spiritual warfare, will end. So what is going to be torn down? Controversies, theories, theological schools of different theories, different controversies, and human reasoning. That is where the problem comes in. It isn't by the spirit of truth and life, by the Holy Spirit, that we get our wisdom and revelation. When we have these problems, it's by human reasoning. And body of Christ, isn't the whole world in human reasoning? They have no understanding of the greater power, the powers of God, Almighty God, and they reason in their own imaginations of what right is right and what is wrong is wrong. They make right wrong, wrong right, good evil, evil good. You see, this is the controversy all over the world and within the church also. But judgment starts in the house of God, and we have to get this right. We must get it right. So it gets into controversies and theories and human reasoning from all learned sources. The greatest of the intellectual on earth cannot even begin to come into any understanding regarding the great spiritual wisdom of God himself. And if you ask for that wisdom, he said he will give it unto you. But you have to know where that source is coming from. I don't care how intellectual, how wise the world gets, it could never compare to God's wisdom. And he's willing to give it to us if we ask. But we also have to ask in faith, believing. It makes no difference where these untruths come from or came from, whether it's been institutional teaching, great theologians, renowned philosophers and psychologists. Listen, they're all very, today in today's world, especially in universities, especially, they are very well honored and all change their minds from time to time, theories from time to time. And there is nothing but mass confusion. And that's why you're seeing riots and darkness. They're in mass confusion. Should the church be that way? So what happens? What happens when you have learned from institutional teachings and theologians that are claiming to be great and renowned philosophers and psychologists and even your family doctor, your next door neighbor, or any other proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the knowledge and truth of God? The scriptures tell us, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, bring it into captivity. That's the word of God. Whether we believe in pre, mid, post, bring it into captivity. Every thought to the obedience of Christ, and he will reveal the truth. He will. The Bible is the inspired word of God. His knowledge, his wisdom, his truth, not mere man's that he has created, and especially fallen man who is in darkness. So they have to intellectualize and reason among themselves, never coming to the truth, ever learning, but never coming to the truth. And let me tell you this. Anything that does not agree with the word of God as revealed, and this is the important part, by the Holy Spirit and confirmed in the harmony of the scriptures is a stronghold of Satan. And you, my friend, are to tear it down. Right now, our present situation is exactly that. And we must tear down these strongholds. How are we going to do it? By spiritual warfare. That's why I wrote the book, We need to learn. We need to understand. We need to come into the truth, the true truth. For this reason, it is necessary to know the word of God. How else can you know when someone comes to you with some sweet-sounding doctrine or teaching and tells you that it is of God? Or, as it is so prevalent today, you may be presented with a biblical teaching that is humanistic theory, cleverly concealed. One of them is in operation right now called universal reconciliation. It is absolutely so demonic and yet held up high in the Christian, among the Christian people, in some cases, not all. But it's very deceptive, and it's moving swiftly in this day to deceive and to bring confusion to the church again as to what is true and what is not. The church is the only sign of truth among the world, in the world, and if we don't have it right, we will crash and fall. You know, when we hear these humanistic theories cleverly concealed, these biblical teachings, these teachings always sound so good and are usually, and this is one of the ways you can understand, they are usually oozing with so-called love. Well, that's the love of God to take us out. Yes, it is his love to take us out, but we have to be cleansed, made whole, made beautiful. And the work of tribulation does that very thing within the church, very thing. That's why he said that judgment will start in the house of God, to cleanse it, to make it whole, to remove all false theories, to divide the wolf from the lamb, to divide the wheat from the chaff, to make his church pure and holy. Now, if you want to call that a rapture, that could be a spiritual rapture, couldn't it? Where by the judgment within the church, we become beautiful, truthful, honest, glorious, and together, one mind, one spirit, one body, one new man in the earth. Isn't that going to be a time? That's why the darkness is hitting as it is right now in this world. He's going to do fighting. Satan has done his within the church. Now God's going to rise up, and he is going to bring the dividing, which is going to be the only true dividing there is. And when he does that, he's going to draw the line. He is finished. He's going to make his decision of who and who not will enter in. Do you want to enter in? Do you want to enter into his glory forever? Then we need to know the truth. Because the truth, again, according to the word of God, will set us free. And who Christ sets free is free indeed. Indeed, what does that mean? In everything we do. That's what it means. In our thoughts, in our manner, in our relationships, in our heart. And he's given us this right. He's given us this ability. So one more time. These teachings always sound good and are usually the ones that are deceptive, oozing with so-called love, and they are intellectually stimulating to the point that one may become puffed up, self-importance, self-reliance, and prideful. And that is absolutely the spirit of the devil, Satan, the evil one, and Lucifer, all in one. That is what it's intended to do. Teaching sounds so good and oozing with so-called love, not real love, because real love is tough. Tough love. You've heard of it. Real love is tough, but yet it is the most incredible, gentle, kind, and loving. But it has to be balanced. And they are very intellectually stimulating to the point that one will become puffed up and self-important and self-reliant and great deal of pride. And you see it in the church often. Yes, you do. And this is where the Lord is working right now. I believe that Satan has done a masterful job in causing the fall of Christians through this means, by false doctrines. And he is now ready to save souls like never before. Not only within the church, it must start in the church first, but throughout the world. But how can he do that if there is still confusion within the church itself? He has to raise up a people that know God's wisdom, has God's knowledge and understanding by and through the Holy Spirit. He must. So then we can go into the world and truly, truly become that light without shadow, without darkness. And then the harvest will be so great and so marvelous. And when this happens, which is at hand, as we begin to learn through the Holy Spirit, when this harvest comes, when this revival comes, it will never end. It will open the kingdom on earth. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It will bring forth those who will rule and reign with him, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, all working as one. And the earth will have first time since Adam and Eve, the peace, the joy, the glory that it was meant to have before the fall. In fact, it'll be greater. For this reason, we will have overcome. You see, Adam and Eve never had opportunity to overcome. They were granted the tree of life from the very beginning. They had all they needed and wanted. They had God walking with them in the garden in the cool of the evening. There was no sin. There was no sin that abound. It was glorious, beautiful, and wonderful. And God made it that way. And he gave them opportunity to keep it. But like deception and the power of that has deceived us, it also deceived them. And they fell. But once you overcome the deception, the evil one, then you can never fall again. It won't be as the Garden of Eden in that manner. It'll be much greater, much more wonderful, much more stable, because we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. He made it possible for us. And we will stand as victors forever into eternity. I have not heard the word or believed it, will pay a price. And if they do believe, they must believe in the true and only Christ and his word in truth. They cannot be puffed up with self-importance and self-reliance and pride, because that is the nature of Satan. For instance, imagine you or someone you know belongs to an organization such as the Alcoholics Anonymous, sponsored by your church. This is just a for instance. Now, I know many of you feel this is a wonderful institution, and it has been helpful in ways, but I want you to consider something. You are told that in order to overcome your addiction to alcohol, you could never permit yourself to drink an alcoholic beverage, lest you will fall back into temptation and reinforce your predicament. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? And you must also continue to claim and believe that you are and always will be an alcoholic. You must continually confess your plight before others so that you will always be aware of its influence over you. Now, think about this. If you were to believe this theory, then the belief that you are and always will be an alcoholic will become a stronghold in your mind and would control your life. You see how the enemy is? Do you see how he works, even within the church, as good works? but in the beautiful gift that we have been given by the Lord Jesus Christ, who set the captives free, this is far from being the reality of what could be. If you have any questions regarding what you have heard, would you please email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. And it will be a wonderful experience for you and for myself. Perhaps I can learn something wonderful from you, and I would love that. I'm open. If you want to purchase my book, go to Amazon. It's online. Purchase my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Let's get going, Body of Christ, Army of the Lord. Let's rise up mightily, as we should. And I just want to thank you for listening. And God bless you. And may you be a power in the hand of God to change lives and to set the captives free. It's one of the most beautiful, most incredible, encouraging experiences that you can have. You are loved. You are blessed. And I know that all things are going to work together for good for you, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We will see you tomorrow.